Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining me for The Colorado Gardener, A Thinking Gardener's Companion, read by Heidi Pate. About The Colorado Gardener. Since 1997, Colorado Gardener has been providing our readers with practical information, resources, and engaging features on local flora and fauna, gardens, and gardeners. It provides readers with ideas, information, encouragement, and resources they need to grow perennials, annuals, bulbs, vegetables, herbs, shrubs, and trees in our fast-changing, unpredictable climate. We emphasize environmentally sound and water-wise practices and let our readers know where they can find the plants, tools, supplies, and services they need locally. We're celebrating our 28th anniversary in 2024. We printed our last print issue in August 2023 and are now digital only, so users can find all of our articles online at thecoloradogardener.com. The Colorado Gardener is an independently owned, creatively designed gardening news magazine that is now fully digital. Our writers are prominent horticulturists and award-winning garden authors. I'll be reading to you from the October 2024 e-magazine. It doesn't feel much like fall yet, though the trees are getting colorful. The grasshoppers have discouraged me from planting much of anything new and edible this fall, but this extended season of growing means the veggie garden is still packed. I've got loads of tomatoes and tomatillos for salsa, broccoli, onions, pumpkins, beets, potatoes, peppers, arugula, and herbs. The wild plums are teeny but delicious right now, and the salvias and agastaches are putting on a great late show, even if they're smaller than usual. Time to plant garlic. In this issue, we have a feature on the versatile and nutrient-dense pumpkin by mountain gardener Penn Parmenter. I've also reprinted a nice piece on spring flowering bulbs by the late David Salmon, founder of High Country Gardens, that he wrote for Colorado Gardener a decade ago. And Keith Funk answers more timely fall gardening questions. Enjoy! That's from Jane Schellenberger. Our first article is by David Salmon called Mixing It Up with Spring Flowering Bulbs. Plant a surprise this fall. Get some spring blooming bulbs into the ground in October or November, water them in, and forget about them. With the arrival of spring, enjoy the surprise as your forgotten bulbs burst into bloom. Bulbs are some of the most beautiful, inexpensive, low-care flowers you can plant in your garden. The trick is to understand the best varieties to use and how to mix them into the fabric of your landscape. Mention the word bulb to a gardener, and most often a tulip comes to mind. But the bulb palette suitable for Western gardens extends well beyond just tulips. There are daffodils, grape hyacinths, also known as muscari, crocus miniature iris, ornamental onion, allium, Spanish bluebells, hyacinthoids, and many other genera that are well-suited to our climate and growing conditions. And yes, there are a lot of wonderful tulips as well, especially perennial wildflower tulips, also known as species tulips. Many of the big hybrid tulips don't come back true after the first year, and some don't come back at all, especially if we don't have a wet spring. By choosing perennial bulbs, commonly referred to as naturalizing bulbs, your bulb plantings multiply and become showier each year. A bulb for every site. Just as there are flowering annuals and perennials for many different growing conditions, such as shade, sun, dry soils, and moist soils, spring flowering bulbs can be matched to these different growing conditions as well. If you're looking to plant spring color under your shade trees and in shady beds on the north or northeast sides of your house, Spanish bluebells, Latin hyacinthoides, snowdrops, Latin galanthus, glory of the snow, Latin chinodoxa, and guinea hen flower, Fritillaria, are all wonderful low-care choices. For not-so-dry areas, with dappled shade to mostly sun, grape hyacinths, muscari, Siberian squill, scilla, and daffodil, narcissus, are recommended. For sunny, dry conditions, wildflower tulips, tulipa, such as crocus, fall-blooming crocus, miniature iris, ornamental onions, also known as allium, are a perfect match. Bulbs for deer defense. Many gardeners have to contend with destructive deer helping themselves to free meals in their landscapes. Fortunately, there are many spring-blooming bulbs that deer won't eat. Daffodils, hyacinthoids, scilla, and allium are excellent for planting colorful flower beds in deer-infested areas. For those of us who don't have deer but have to contend with gophers as an underground hazard, daffodils are the best solution as they are ignored by these hungry critters. Planting bulbs for big areas of color. Experience has shown that planting larger numbers of bulbs into any given area will greatly increase the beauty of their flowering display the following spring. By massing or planting densely each bulb by type or color, their visual impact in your landscape is greatly magnified. In fact, many of the wildflower iris, wildflower tulips, and crocus are small plants. So plant each variety in groups of at least a dozen or a couple of dozen or more bulbs. Each of these little bulbs will multiply and spread like ground cover, filling in the empty spots over the course of several growing seasons. New ideas for bulb plantings. Traditionally, bulbs, especially tulips, have been used as bedding plants, densely planted for their spring color, then removed and replaced with annual bedding plants to keep the beds in color for the remainder of the growing season. And many beautiful big hybrid tulips only come true for 1 year. These days, this labor-intensive routine is not very practical for time-constrained gardeners. Instead, mixing perennial beds into perennial flower beds and borders will provide less formal and less work-intensive way to enjoy them. Just like herbaceous perennials, spring flowering bulbs bloom at different times of the spring. Familiarize yourself with early, mid, and late spring blooming daffodils to extend their season of color from late February to end of May. The same is true of tulips. This huge collection of different species and cultivars also has the same long season of bloom. By using some of the showy allium varieties, you can extend the season of bulb color into June. Ground covers and small bulbs. There are many spring blooming ground covers that make fine companions for bulbs. Speedwell, Veronica, Thyme, Thymus, rock cress, albriaceae, moss pinks, phlox subulata, and low-growing Greek yarrow, achillea, are just a few. For established patches of ground covers, remove a small plug of the ground cover with a bulb planter and drop bulbs of small growing varieties like crocus, miniature iris, miniature daffodils, and small wildflower tulips into the hole. The beauty and performance of fall blooming crocus is enhanced by planting them into snow in the summer, cerastium, and speedwells. For shady and part shade areas, woodland ground covers like Siberian bugloss, Brunera, ornamental comfrey, symphytum, and dead nettle, lamium, are wonderful companions for larger daffodils, Siberian squill, and Spanish bluebells. White-flowered candytuft, Iberis, is superb, used under mid-spring blooming white daffodils, while golden columbine, Aquilegia, is a knockout with late spring blooming daffodils. Mixing bulbs into the perennial border. As you move into the full sun, there are numerous companion perennials that mix seamlessly with spring flowering bulbs. Remember to match their bloom times to provide complementary colored flowers between bulb and perennial. Early blooming basket of gold, or alyssum, is a superb mixed with Grigie and Fosteriana type tulips. Early blooming hardy ice plant, Delosperma, is nice combined with grape hyacinths. Finish the bulb season with moonshine yarrow, Achillea, or Walker Low catmint, Nepeta, blooming with Allium Purple Sensation or Brodia Queen Fabiola. The combinations between bulb and perennial are vast and can provide you with many stimulating hours of planning the possibilities. Waiting for fall. It's always a good idea to order your bulbs early to ensure you get the varieties you want, but you don't need to be in a hurry to plant them. Waiting until October or November, sometime after the first hard frost but before the ground begins to freeze, is the best time to get them into the ground. So in the meantime, promise yourself a surprise, a spring surprise, by planting bulbs this fall. The late David Salmon founded High Country Gardens and Santa Fe Nursery. This article was reprinted from an article he wrote for the Colorado Gardener in 2010. Next, pumpkins are king from Penn Parmenter. Pumpkins are king in the Parmenter Mountain Gardens. We love everything about them and have grown them for over 25 years. They are a particularly generous plant capable of providing hundreds of pounds of easily storable, nutrient-dense, delicious food. Pumpkins are versatile and can be used in more ways than I can list here. For a nation that celebrates pumpkins by carving faces in them and then smashing them in the streets, there is still a pumpkin for everyone. There are fast pumpkins, bush pumpkins, huge pumpkins, vining pumpkins, tiny pumpkins, white pumpkins, and pumpkins with warts. No matter what varieties you grow, the yield will delight you. Voluptuous plants with stunning flowers that make any garden look good, they can also feed the world. We have grown a 90-day full-sized pumpkin called Northern Bush for over 20 years. It has always produced, and now that we save the seeds, it produces more, faster, and is beginning to ripen on the vine. Up here in the mountains, we have to bring pumpkins in before the first hard freeze to finish ripening indoors. We cure our winter squash for at least 2 weeks after they are ripe to toughen up the skin. The sugars will concentrate after harvesting, making them sweeter than ever. Here are some short season pumpkins. Northern Bush, 90 days, very long storage. Cherokee bush, 80 to 90 days, bush habit, no vines. Montana Jack, 75 days, short season, great flavor. Sugar pie, 90 to 100 days, long storage. Jack B. Little, 95 days. Racer, 85 days. Besides being fun to grow, pumpkins are incredibly useful. Pumpkins and their seeds are top dogs in the nutritional world. They are healing agents, cancer fighters, prostate protectors, eyesight enhancers, menopause minders, skin beautifiers, free radical chasers, cholesterol reducers, age delayers, blood pressure correctors, mood lifters, sleep promoters, muscle restorers, and heart heroes. You get all this and more from pumpkin's piles of nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, including vitamins A, C, and E, riboflavin, potassium, copper, magnesium, manganese, thiamine, B6, folate, pantothenic acid, niacin, iron, phosphorus, carotenoids, including beta-carotene, tryptophan, potassium, phytosterols, zinc, protein, and fiber, fiber, fiber. One cup is only 49 calories. Pumpkins are satisfying and delicious, and you can even eat the serving dish. My mother used to serve a rich, delicious stew roasted right inside a cleaned-out raw pumpkin. After baking, you scoop spoonfuls of cooked pumpkin off its walls while dishing the stew up. So delicious and clever, everyone was always amazed. While the whole family likes pumpkin pie, we love roasted pumpkin, especially if it has delicious meat sitting on it. It's good in so many ways. It's a winter squash, after all, and can be eaten like one. Any squash can be a jack-o'-lantern, but a pumpkin can be anything. Best-tasting cooking pumpkins include Winter Luxury, 105 days growing, very sweet, but no storage. Long Island Cheese, 105 days, 1 year storage. Baby Bear and Baby Pam, both 105 days. Long Pie, 100 days, ripens in storage, pick green with orange spot on butt. Howden Pumpkin, 115 days, great keeper. Musk de Provence, 125 days, long storage. Jack-o'-lantern, 105 days. Cinderella, Circa Maxima, 110 days. Winter squash need minimal care to store. Yes, a root cellar or basement is optimal, but they keep pretty well in any cool, dry, dark place with good ventilation. A good storage pumpkin optimizes the harvest. What good is it if it turns to mush in a month? I want that food all winter long. Knowing they are keeping perfectly inside their shell gives me peace of mind when bringing in the harvest. Cord and I grew pumpkins for fun at first, but later began to understand their wonderful qualities. Of course, when you move to the mountains, you will be told you cannot grow pumpkins or corn or tomatoes without a greenhouse. You may also be told that greenhouses won't work either. Cord would say, "Miss Penn doesn't like to be told no." We never believed the naysayers and just kept learning and building our gardens, greenhouses, and our food security. Pumpkins have become a very important part of our harvest, seed bank, and bellies. We continue to learn about the cucurbita family. My farmer friend grows pumpkins for her pigs and chickens. They devour them for their delicious, sweet flavor and crunchy seeds. But the cucurbitan is also reported to have natural deworming properties. She finds that interesting enough to use it as feed. Since pumpkins are chock full of vitamins and minerals, and the fiber aids in healthy digestion, and she can make pie, it's a good fit. Winter squash plants make great compost for either the green or brown layer. Vining squash is a team member of the three sisters rambling under the corn to mulch and shade the soil, retaining moisture. You can plant a pumpkin at the edge of a shade tree to keep the roots moist longer and watch it grow outwards toward the sun. After my pumpkins are completely ripened and have cured for about 2 weeks, I start using them in meals. We eat the seed of non-pollinated fruits as they will not come true to variety. Hand pollination is required to get true seed when growing multiple varieties of squash. Eating pumpkin seeds raw gives the best health benefits, but roasted in a little garlic and chipotle powders or tossed in tamari is a hard-to-beat snack. When I do save seed from hand-pollinated pumpkins, I often cut up several at once. I cut the pumpkins in half, load up the pan sky high, and roast them at 375 to 400 degrees until I can easily stab them with something. They will be puffy in the oven, then deflate as they cool. We eat these for dinner, but when there is extra, I scrape out the flesh into a bowl and puree it in my food processor to store. I pack it in mason jars, date and label it, and freeze it for use all winter to make pies, breads, or muffins. But I really prefer one pumpkin at a time. I cut it open, roast the seeds, and roast the flesh in a little olive oil. My family of men loves it when I roast a chicken or pork roast right on top of cut-up pumpkin and onions. Sigh. I want some right now. Penn and Cord Parmenter garden and grow food and seed near Westcliff. Both are regional high-altitude gardening instructors and the founders of Smart Greenhouses, LLC, a sustainable greenhouse design company, and Miss Penn's Mountain Seeds. You can see their work at World Wide Web, www.pennandcordsgarden.com. That's PennandCordsGarden. PennandCordsGarden.com. Next, I'm going to read some of the frequently asked questions and answers. Question: how do I store tender bulbs like dahlias, cannas, and begonias for next year? Answer: in a dry climate like Colorado, storing tender bulbs like cannas, dahlias, and gladiolus and begonias requires some additional care due to the low humidity. The goal is to prevent the bulbs from drying out too much during winter storage. Here's how to store them successfully. Dig up the bulbs. After the first frost, dig up the bulbs carefully. Gently remove as much soil as possible and leave about 2 to 3 inches of stem attached. Clean and cure the bulbs. Let the bulbs cure in a shaded, dry, frost-free area for a day or two. This toughens the skin of the bulbs and helps prevent rotting during storage. Protect against excessive dryness. Because the air is so dry, bulbs can shrivel and lose moisture quickly. To combat this, pack with moisture-retaining material. Use slightly damp peat moss, sawdust, or vermiculite to surround the bulbs. Wrap in newspaper or paper bags. This helps trap some moisture around the bulbs without making them too wet. Storage location. Store in a cool, that's between 40 and 50 degrees Fahrenheit, dark location such as an unheated garage, basement, or frost-free shed. Monitor and adjust. Check regularly. Since Colorado's dry air can pull moisture from the bulbs, check monthly for signs of shriveling or mold. If bulbs seem too dry or shriveled, lightly mist the packing material again. If any bulbs are rotting, remove them to keep the rot from spreading to other bulbs. Thank you for joining me for The Colorado Gardener, a Thinking Gardener's Companion, read by Heidi Pate.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.